Title: Feedback Delay Tricks for 90s Rave Flavor Advanced. Alright, let's get into one of the most this should probably be illegal techniques in 90s rave, jungle and drum and bass. Feedback delay. Used right, feedback can smear hats into shimmer, turn short stabs into full-on sirens, and make your fills feel like they're trying to escape the speakers. Used wrong, it'll eat your headroom, flatten your drop, and maybe jump scare your ears. So the goal today is not just chaos, it's controlled chaos. Safe, repeatable, performable feedback delay tricks using stock Ableton devices, built in a way you can actually trust inside a real DNB mix at 170 to 175 BPM. By the end, you'll have three tools. 1. A safe dub-style feedback send that can get rowdy without ruining your mix. 2. A drum ghoster for amen chops and tops that adds metallic trails without washing the groove. 3. A stab and siren throw setup with macros, so you can perform those classic bar and hype moments like an instrument. Before we start, keep your monitoring level sane. Feedback is fast. A limiter is mandatory, but it's not a permission slip to go wild. Think of the limiter as a seatbelt, not the steering wheel. Part A. Build the rave feedback send. The safe dub loop. First, create a return track. Name it a rave feedback. Now we're going to build a device chain in this order. EQ8, then delay or echo, then saturator, then auto filter, and finally limiter. That order matters. We're shaping what goes into the feedback system first, then adding character, then doing performance filtering, and at the very end we're preventing disasters. Let's set up safety first. Go to the limiter at the end. Set the ceiling to -0.8 dB. Leave look ahead at default. Then pull the return track fader down to about -12 dB to start. This return should not start life loud. You want space to perform into it. Now, quick pro move from the start. Add a utility at the very beginning of the return, before EQ8. This is your input pad. Set it somewhere like -6 to -18 dB depending on how hot your project is. Later, we can macro map this as a global calm down control, because different sources will hit this return very differently. Next, EQ8. And this is one of the big don't skip it steps. We're going to make the feedback loop 90s rave proof by not letting low end build up. On EQ8, enable a high pass filter around 180 to 300 Hz. If you're working with drums and you want it extra safe, go higher, like 300 to 600. If the loop gets fizzy or harsh, add a gentle low pass around 6 to 10 Khz. And if it starts doing that classic feedback whistle, you'll usually find it somewhere around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. Do a narrow notch, maybe -3 to -8 dB. Teacher note, the reason we EQ before the delay is because whatever you feed into the delay becomes the material that multiplies. EQ after the delay can help tone, but EQ before the delay is what stops the system from becoming a low-end snowball. Now pick your delay character. If you want tight, classic, minimal CPU, use the delay device. Link on. Set time to 3/16 or 1/8 to start. Feedback around 35 to 55%. Dry/wet at 100% because it's a return. If you want more hardware unit vibe, use echo. Time at 3/16 for that rolling push, or 1/4 for bigger dub space. Feedback 40 to 65%. Mod 10 to 20%. Keep it subtle. We want movement, not seasickness. Noise 0.5 to 3%. And only if you actually want that grime. Dry/wet 100%. Now saturator. Mode. Analog clip. Drive somewhere between 2 and 6 dB. Then trim the output down so you're not just making it louder. Optional. Turn on soft clip. The point here is that saturation makes the feedback bloom and compress in a musically familiar way, like older gear. Clean digital feedback often feels sharp and too perfect, and it stacks in a way that gets tiring fast. Next, auto filter for the dub sweep. Set it to a low pass, 24 dB slope. Start frequency around 2 to 6 kHz. Resonance around 0.7 to 1.4. Important warning, resonance plus feedback is basically howl fuel. It's awesome, but it escalates quickly. If you push resonance, you usually need to lower your feedback or your input pad to keep things under control. Optional movement. Add a tiny LFO, like 5 to 15% amount, and a slow rate. Something like 1/8 up to 1/2 depending on what you want. The goal is subtle motion, not wobble takeover. Now let's talk about making this performable. The feedback ramp. Method 1 is the simple one and it works. Automate delay feedback. For phrase ends, raise it from a safe zone like 45 to 55% up towards something like 70% for a moment, then immediately drop back down. That dropback is the pro move. Always rate the reset automation, not just the hype. Method 2 is the dangerous fun one. A true self-feeding loop like a DAW mixer, using return routing and sends only. You can do it, but it can get wilded instantly. If you try it, put a queue and a limiter on both returns, keep levels conservative, and don't do it for the first time at 2 a.m. with loud monitors. Quick coaching on gain staging the loop like a pro. Solo the return. Set feedback to your safe value, like 45 to 55%. Now send a short sound into it and listen. The repeat should clearly decay. If the repeats stay the same volume and just keep going, you're at loop unity, and your one small automation bump away from runaway. Back off the send level, reduce saturator output, or pull down that utility input pad until it decays. And remember, if your limiter is clamping hard all the time, it means your loop is too hot earlier. Don't lean on the limiter. Fix the gain staging. Part B, the Amen or Drum Ghoster Chain. This is where feedback, delay, becomes less about huge throws and more about subtle metallic ghosts that fill the gaps in a rolling groove. On your drum break group, send a little bit to return A. Start subtle, minus 18 to minus 12 dB. In other words, you should miss it when it's muted, but it shouldn't sound like an obvious delay effect. Now make the return more break-friendly. Raise the EQ8 high pass to around 300 to 600 Hz, because we do not want kicks or snare body feeding the loop. We want the grit and the air, not the weight. Set delay time to 1/16 or 3/16 for faster ghosts. Lower feedback to 25 to 45%. Optional jungle spice. Add redux before saturator. Downsample around 2 to 6. Dry/wet 10 to 25%. That gives you crunchy edges that feel like old sampler artifacts, without turning the whole thing into white noise. Now a huge DNB technique, sidechain ducking on the return. Add a compressor after saturator and before the limiter. Enable sidechain. Key it from your drum bus. Or even better sometimes, just the snare. Ratio about 3 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release 60 to 140 milliseconds, and adjust until it breathes with the tempo. Then lower the threshold until the delay tucks behind the transient. What you want is, snare hits, delay gets out of the way, snare stops, delay blooms into the gap. That's how you keep the roll clean, while still getting that jungle tail excitement. If the tail still smears the groove, here's a trick. Don't only lower feedback, shorten the audibility. Put a gate after the delay, or use auto pan as a tremolo and rhythmically chop the tail. It makes the return feel animated and in pocket, rather than like a wash. Part C. The stab and siren throw rack. Performance macros. Make a dedicated audio track for your stabs or vocal cuts. Name it Stab Throws. Send that track to a rave feedback. Now on the return, select all the devices and group them into an audio effect rack. We'll map 8 macros for performance. Here's a clean set. Macro 1. Feedback. Macro 2. Time. Macro 3. Filter frequency. Macro 4. Filter resonance. Macro 5. Saturator drive. Macro 6. Duck amount, which is basically compressor threshold. Macro 7. Tone high pass, the EQ8 HP frequency. Macro 8. Output trim. Ideally a utility near the end, right before the limiter, so you can keep loudness consistent. Suggested ranges. Feedback from 40 to about 78%. Don't map to 100 unless you enjoy risk. Time bouncing mainly between 1/8 and 3/16. And occasionally 1/4 for big throws. Filter frequency 500 Hz up to 10 kHz. Resonance 0.6 up to 1.6. Drive 2 dB up to 8 dB. Now, arrangement moves that scream 90s. First, the bar end throw. On the last stab before a drop, automate the send up for literally one hit, or maybe the quarter bar. Then cut it. Let the return do the tail. This keeps your main track clean while the energy spikes. Second, the build up howl. Over 8 bars, slowly raise feedback and resonance while sweeping the low-pass filter downward. That combination is the classic rave unit about to catch fire moment. Third, the drop reset. On the downbeat of the drop, snap feedback back to a safe value, like 45 to 55%, open the filter back up, and drop the send amount back down. That contrast is what makes the drop feel big. If the return is still screaming into beat 1, you steal your own impact. Extra performance safety you can trust. Make a panic macro. Map 1 macro to pull the return's input utility gain way down. Reduce feedback to the minimum and close the filter slightly or reduce resonance. If you perform on a controller, map the return fader and the panic macro to 2 different physical controls. When things get spicy, muscle memory matters. Another advanced detail. mono and phase discipline. Wide, fizzy feedback tails can make your drop feel smaller because the stereo field is already full before the drop hits. Try adding a utility near the end and automating width down to 0 to 60% in the last bar before the drop. Then snap width back wider after the drop. That little moment of center focus can make the impact feel way bigger. Advanced variations, quick but powerful. 1. Frequency-dependent feedback, dub desk style. Split the return into 3 bands using an audio effect rack. Low, mid, high. Only put delay on mid and high. Keep lows dry or extremely short with very low feedback. Now you can get aggressive rave tails that never balloon your subs. This is a huge upgrade for heavier, darker DNB. 2. One-shot feedback burst. Instead of living at high feedback, automate a very short moment of input open into the delay, like an envelope on a utility gain. You get the sensation of self-oscillation, but it's predictable and repeatable. 3. Tempo-hopping throws without losing the meter. Automate delay time in short, intentional jumps. 1/8 to 3/16 to 1/4. Change time right after a transient, not mid-tail, unless you want that pitch jump effect. 4. Feedback into reverb, but controlled. Put a small reverb after the delay on the return. Short decay, like 0.6 to 1.6 seconds. High pass it hard. This makes tails feel bigger without washing your dry elements. And a couple sound design extras if you want to go full rave archaeology. To turn stabs into legit sirens without a synth. Add frequency shifter after the delay. Fine mode. Set frequency +10 to +40 Hz, or negative for darker. Dry slash wet 10 to 35%. That tiny instability reads immediately like cheap hardware. For metallic jungle haze, add resonators after the delay, but keep it subtle. Dry slash wet 5 to 20%. Tune one or two resonators to your root and fifth. High pass before it so it rings in the mids. Now, common mistakes to avoid, because these are the ones that make people quit feedback delay. Feeding low end into the loop. High pass early, always. No limiter at the end. Non-negotiable. Too much send on drums. If your snare loses crack, you overdid it. Use ducking. Over-modulating. Small, purposeful modulation only. And not writing the reset automation. The reset is what makes it feel professional. Mini practice exercise to lock it in. Make a 16-bar rolling DNB phrase. Load a rolling drum loop, like Amen Chops or a clean two-step. Add a short rave stab. Build a rave feedback as we did. This audio version is shortened for playback.